Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of Philadelphia, First College Presbyterian Congregation, Mount Zion, Philadelphia. You live in here in Texas today, it's May 1, 2014, or it is Zip 3, 2018, we'll start our second service today with a song entitled, Take Time to Be Holy. Take time to be holy, sweet offering thy Yah. Abide in Him always, and feed on His word. Make friends of Yah's children, help those who are weak, forgetting His nothing. His blessing to see. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in the secret with Yahshua alone. By looking to Yahshua, like Him there shall be God friends in thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let Him be thy guide, and run not before Him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Yah. And looking to Yahshua, still trust in His word. Take time to be holy, lay calm in thy soul. His thought and His motive beneath His control, just led by His Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. Part 5, Calling of the Vanguard by the Brother Cedric Johnson, 1998. We're going to continue on page 8. Let's do just a little review. When the time of the terrorists, the children of the wicked one, Matthew 13:38, is come to its full, then will commence the harvest, and it will bring the end of this world. Matthew 13:30-40. Taking place in the end of the world is prefaced. Is the gathering of the people by Elijah's message. The last heaven sent proclamation of the gospel, which is preached first to the church, just before the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, Malachi 4:5, and then into all the world during that long expected day. Tract 9, 67. No judgment for the living, nor harvest in the rod period. Alright, so hence it is self evident that the Elijah message is in the two phases, two different periods of the time, and by two different servants as pointed out in the type. It is a well-established fact that V.T. Hollis made it plain in his writing that he was the Elijah of Malachi 4:5. The antitype of John the Baptist. So now, John the Baptist is a type, and V.T. Hollis is the antitype now of John the Baptist. That was to come just before the harvest, the judgment for the living and the kingdom, which is in the perfect harmony with the type, showing that he did not and could not restore all things. For this Elijah is the antitype of Yahshua, the branch of the Isaiah 11:1-10, as the type shows. Prophecy must be fulfilled. The Yahshua says, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. Somebody is to come in the spirit and power of the Elijah, and when he appears, a man may say, You are too earnest, you do not interpret the scriptures in the proper way. Let me tell you how to teach your message. Testimonies, Ministers 475. Thus, to be in the harmony with the type, we will have to look for the Elijah who is to restore all things to appear in the movement following B.T. Hollis and the Shepherd's Rod message, which is the fifth angel's message of Revelation 18:1-4. The harvest, the judgment for the living, and the kingdom. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him at Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. So what was Burles Johnson commanded to do in 1970? To remember ye the law of Moses. And so he remembered it. He raised up a sanctuary, put into full operation with the inspiration from heaven and a commission to restore all the divine institutions, which he did. So he remembered the law of Moses. But did he remember the law of Moses at the end of his ministry? No, he turned from it. Okay. So I think why Yahweh had to send Elijah David to him. I was there the whole time of his movement in the 11th hour. That's why he had to hear this message from heaven right at the end of his days. Alright, let's continue on. You know by now that Malachi chapter 3 and 4 prophetically speaks unto the people of today. Who's the people? People of Gilead sinner. Unto the people just before the great and dreadful day, the judgment for the living. Well, he said the judgment of the living began in 1970. Now in 1998 he said, Malachi is speaking to a people. Just before the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, judgment for the living, unto the people unto whom antiquity Elijah the prophet is sent. So who is this people? Gilead sinner. And what wise counsel does Yahweh give through the Malachi? He says, remember you the law of Moses, my servant. In other words, you were reminded of it 33 years ago, and you remembered it, and you restored it. Now you have trampled underfoot, and I'm telling you again now, at the end of your ministry, if you want to get in under the wire and be saved at last, you're going to have to repent and do what my messenger, and typically Elijah David, tells you, so that you can come to the atonement 2 months hence from now with your flock. Now, Brother Johnson is asking the question, what law? Question mark. The law of the statutes and judgment, which is Yahweh's command in Horeb. Since this is Elohim's faithful advice unto the people of this day, we would do well to restudy the law of Moses and to remember it. Alright? So, Brother Johnson taught Yahweh's government in 1971. He taught it solid for at least the first 7 years. So, apparently he had led them in the way of forgetting it again. He had led his flock again and forgetting it. And so now he's telling him, since this is Yahweh's faithful advice unto his people of this day, 1998, we would do well to restudy this law of Moses. So that's good counsel for Gilead sinner, telling everybody we need to restudy the law of Moses and to remember it. For we cannot disregard his counsel and still expect his blessing. TG 2:37. Okay, so Brother Johnson was right on. For the only law of Moses, therefore that we can possibly be admonished, remember, is the third part that pertains to us as individuals, the things that we as individuals must perform, the things that perfect our character, the things that make us a peculiar people. And what did Brother Johnson used to preach to us all the time and quote to us in the Nehemiah 1:15? Hold you to keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, so that wickedness shall no longer pass through thee. He's utterly cut off. Now here's Brother Johnson admonishing us to give us in it. The thing that we as individuals must perform. The things that perfect our character. What thing? The practicing of the ordinances of the sanctuary. We therefore need to search our hearts and minds and do the things contained in the moral law of the Moses, the commandments and the statutes and the judgment. 2 TGR 37, page 15. V.T. Hollis did not implement this. Okay. For you're obeying all the commandments and the statutes and judgment of the moral law of Moses, you see, is your evidence that you have been born again, that you have been endowed with the power from above. So apparently, Brother Johnson and all of the flock of Gilead, including myself, we didn't obey all the statutes and judgments of the moral law of Moses. Because if we had it, that would have been the evidence that we had been born again. And nobody was born again down there. The only one that was born again was those that signed the crying there at the end and got delivered from that burning inferno there at Babylon. It says, you restoring the law of Moses, or keeping all the statutes done, is evidence that you have been born again and that you have been endowed with power from above. Well, you have to wait for the Pentecost to be empowered with power from above. And you have to come to the Passover, be sanctified and purified at the Passover before you can even come to the Pentecost and be empowered. That you are unable to choose the good and refuse the evil. And what does it say about Yahshua in the pipe? It says that he studied and understood all of his father's commandments, statutes, and judgments. He understood what constituted good and evil. And he understood that unless you study the sanctuary system and all of Yahweh's commandments, and studied them and understood them all correctly and adhered to all of them, that was the only way that you could refuse the evil and choose the good, by having the knowledge, of the complete knowledge of Yahweh's government and how to differentiate between the good and evil. That's the only way that you can do it, is by 100% performing your vows of the sanctuary. Okay, that you are the children of the Yahweh. Keeping the commandments and the statutes of the Yahweh, this is the light and shield of your life. It is the outward sign that by the life of Yahshua, you have overcome the enemy of your soul and body. This system of the worship, therefore, is truly the righteousness by the faith that brings the righteousness of the Yahshua. Okay, the righteousness by the faith in what? Righteousness by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua. That brings the righteousness of the Yahshua into the people of Yahweh. Let us now, with the ears wide open, hear the crier's bell. Now notice how it says, the compound preposition into, bring the righteousness of the Yahshua into the people of the Elohim. The way verse you got written here is, bring truly the righteousness by faith that brings the righteousness of Yahshua and the people of Yahweh. Okay. Well, that end of the preposition is okay, but if you put into the people of Yahweh, it means it comes inside and it goes into the heart. Let us now with the ears wide open hear the crier's bell. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth it shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. How beautiful upon the mountains of the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace. That saith unto Zion that Elohim reigneth. Isaiah 52, 1 and 7, 2 TGR 37, page 24. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn faith, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. Nahum 1:15. This is the most oft-quoted verse that I remember Brother Johnson quoting for 33 years, was this verse here. Okay. Here and in the preceding two paragraphs, the prophetic word of the Elohim plainly declares by both Isaiah and Nahum the prophet that when we see these good tidings published by him whose feet are seen upon the mountains, and this is now taking place for the first time since the prophet wrote, it is to be a sign that the wicked, the violators of the law of Moses, are soon to be cut off from the Elohim's people. 2 TGR 37, page 25. This man that is published in peace is not Vitihala, it is Joshua, due to the fact that Vitihala's feet were not seen upon the mountains, churches. Neither did he bring good tidings, nor did he publish peace, nor did he say to Judah to keep her solemn feast, perform her vows, for the wicked of violators of the law of Moses shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. And now, since you are privileged to hear all these things, happy are ye, says the Yahweh, if you do them. Job 13:17. Notice the picture in the center of the page of 2 TG 37:25, which points out the man whose feet are seen upon the mountain, churches publishing a salvation, the sanctuary system, which includes history, prophecy, commandments, statutes, and Elohim's holy feast. For the Elijah that restores all things, you see, Isaiah 52:1-7, not Vitihalev. Recline, and no longer, brother, sister, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Yahweh is risen upon thee. Isaiah 60:1. Behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, the truth of the sanctuary system. Perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee, he is utterly cut off. Tract 4, page 61. Nahum 1:15, the Vitihalev did not teach these things, thus he was not this man. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Revelation 18:1. Law of Moses, prosperity, health, happiness, and eternity. For the summary of our study, I would have you seriously look at this illustration. Look at it, store it in your mind, and study it at your leisure. Yes, be convinced of the truth which I have tried to present unto you, for it is your life, your prosperity, your health, and happiness, your eternity. 2 TG 37:24. And Deuteronomy 4:5-8. Now that you have read these facts, I hope that your eyes and ears are wide open, and that you are able to see and hear the voice of Elohim through his servant. Say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Pray for eyesight, that your eyes may be anointed. Elohim is speaking unto you, and he demands your undivided attention, for this is the plan of salvation that we are herein dealing with. 2 TGR 37:24 calls for obedience unto all the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments of the moral law of Moses, which is the only law of Moses that we can possibly be admonished to remember. The third part of the Moses law, the moral law, 2 TG 37, page 15, for the importance of the obedience unto these requirements are pointed out in the writings of the Apostle Paul. For we are his workmanship, created in Yahshua Messiah unto good works, which the Elohim hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by the hands, that at that time you were without Yahshua, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, and without Elohim in the world. Ephesians 2:10-12. Thus we see that in order to have Elohim's Yahshua and hope, it is necessary to become a part of the commonwealth of Israel and be obedient unto all the covenants. Number 1, the Ten Commandments. Number 2, the statutes, the law of Moses. Leviticus 23, Deuteronomy 4:13-14. Since the word glory is associated with Isaiah 60:1 and Revelation 18:1, it is proof that it applies unto the Elijah that restores all things, judgment of the living, the harvest and the kingdom, the fifth angel's message. Notice, brethren, that it is with the antitypical Elijah Vitihalev, John the Baptist, that is herein telling you to restudy the law of Moses and to remember it, for you cannot disregard his counsel and still expect his blessing, that we are to remember his commandments. his statutes and his judgments of the law of Moses. Now, we are to perform our vows and everything that was written by the Moses, except the laws regulating sacrifices, as that law ended at the cross. Neither are we to execute the civil laws written by the Moses, as long as we are bound by the nation wherein we are. Thus, we realize that the only part of the law of Moses that we are to obey now is the law of the sanctuary, the plan of salvation, the true worship system, and the calendar system, until we become a nation, a government of our own. At that time, we will then be obligated to execute the second part of the Mosaic law, the civil laws. Beware of rejecting new light sent by the Yahweh, closing hours of the pre-harvest. Now, the closing hour of the pre-harvest would be the 11th hour, for the harvest takes place in the 12th hour. So, this prophecy didn't have to, it have to be during the 11th parabolic hour that this prophecy meets its fulfillment. We must not for a moment think that there is no more light, no more truth to be given us. We are in the danger of becoming careless by our indifference to losing our sanctifying power of the truth and consoling ourselves with the thought, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. While we hold fast unto the truth which we have already received, we must not look with a suspicion upon any new light that the Elohim may send. Gospel Workers, page 310. Okay, it says, but beware of rejecting that which is in the truth, for the greater danger with our people has been that of depending upon men and making flesh their arm. Those who have not been in the habit of searching the Bible for themselves, or when in evidence have confidence in the leading men, and accept the decisions they make, and thus many will reject the very messages Elohim sends unto his people. If these leading brethren do not accept them, no one should claim that he has all the light that there is for Elohim's people, for the Yahweh will not tolerate this. He has said, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Even if all our leading men should refuse light and truth, that door will still remain open, for the Yahweh will raise up men who will give the people the message for this time. Testimonies to Ministers 106, paragraph 4, through paragraph 107, or actually page 107. Should we not now consider ourselves the most fortunate people in the world for knowing these things beforehand? Shall we not be glad and thankful for having been warned beforehand that we have come almost into the time of the harvest, and that we have been given the opportunity to make ready for it? Shall we not be glad that we are not left in the darkness, and that we are now plainly shown that these are the closing hours of the pre-harvest period, that the harvest will soon begin, 1 TGR 21, page 19. You are now, brethren, brought unto the truth that in 1946, V.T. Holliff wrote, we were the most fortunate people in the world to be warned beforehand that we have come almost into the time of the harvest. This, my brethren, was reprinted in 1953, which was 23 years after the Shepherd's Rod message began, just 2 years before he died, showing that 23 years after the beginning of the Shepherd's Rod message, the author V.T. Holliff wrote that we have come almost to the time of the harvest, showing that he did not know when the judgment for the living harvest would begin, for the Shepherd's Rod message met its fulfillment in the end of the sixth seal. Whereas the harvest, the judgment for the living, began with the opening of the seventh seal in 1970. To further emphasize the point in the question, let me draw your attention unto the cover of the tract number 1. For the heading reads, Pre-11th Hour Extra, making the shepherd's rod the 10th hour movement. In the face of this fact, I want to say unto you, my brethren, that it is herein proved that the shepherd's rod was the 10th hour movement of the daytime on your prophetic time clock, making Viti Hala the antitype of Shem, as shown on the 11th hour chart, seeing that Shem followed the 9th hour judgment message by the Noah, and V.T. Hollis followed the 9th hour judgment message by the E.G. White as a perfect type and antitype. See the 11th hour chart. Thus, the shepherd rod message was a 10th hour message, and that was Mount Carmel, the second feeding pasture, closed out the 10th hour, as I've taught many times before. For the 10th hour began in 1844 with Ellen G. White, and that was at the 9th hour, closing of the 9th hour, and that was at the 9th hour call, actually. The Adventists worked in the 10th and 11th parabolic hour with the answering of the 9th hour call. Okay. Thus, the shepherd rod message was in the 10th hour, proven by the words pre-11th hour. That was reprinted in 1953, 23 years from the beginning of the shepherd's rod message, showing that the 11th hour, the harvest, the kingdom of the judgment, and the judgment for the living is the message of the fifth angel of Revelation 18:1-4. Now you see where the rub comes in at. Rollis Johnson was quick to prove that V.T. Hollis and the rod message and the rod period was in the 10th hour. He's quick to point that out. But, and he didn't point out that V.T. Hollis was just the Seventh-day Adventist in the second feeding pasture, Mount Carmel, and that he also answered the 9th hour call in 1844 to work in the vineyard with the fourth group laborers. That was fulfilled in Matthew 20, verse 5, where it says the Adventists were called at the 9th hour. And Rollis Johnson was also worked in the 10th hour. That's when he began his work. And the vineyard was in the 10th hour with Ben Roden and V.T. Hollis. Okay, and that was in 1946 when Rollis Johnson and Ben Roden went to work for V.T. Hollis. So it says, for the Elijah's message with the antitypical Joshua beginning in 1970 with the opening of the seventh seal in which all things will be restored. Okay, now Brother John said all things will be restored. Start in 1970 because the judgment of living began and he's at the helm and now he's, in his grave, has been now since 2012, and none of these things that he wrote about met its fulfillment. Okay. So it says, for the Elijah's message with the antitypical Joshua began in 1970 with the opening of the seventh seal in which all things will be restored. For the fact that V.T. Hollis as the antitypical Moses violated the demand of the type, that is, he did not institute the Yahshua's Supper at the Passover time at the beginning of his ministry in 1930, while still in the antithetical Egypt, as Moses, the type, had done in Egypt at the beginning of his ministry. For the Passover signifies deliverance. Instead, V.T. Hollis taught his followers to observe the Yahshua's Supper with the Mother Church, SDA, who were breaking the Passover law of the Yahweh written by the Moses, showing that the V.T. Hollis knew that the Davidian movement was a part of the Seventh-day Adventist. And since Rollis W. Johnson was the Isaac branch Davidian, he's also a part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. By the name Davidian, Seventh-day Adventist, thus V.T. Hollis and Ben Roden and Rollis W. Johnson, those three men that succeeded each other, are nothing but Seventh-day Adventists working in the second and third feeding pastures, the Davidians. of the Seventh-day Adventists. Filling out the last two steps of the genuine movement of the Seventh-day Adventists, the Mount Carmel and Mount Gilead. All right. Thus, the V.T. Hallett taught the divisions to break that law, making them lawbreakers of Elohim's law, written by the Moses, as shown in Nehemiah 8:1-8. By the Davidians going back to the SDA church to observe the Yahshua's supper with the SDA brethren, as the V.T. Hallett had directed them to do. For the Davidians were responsible for the incursion of the SDA church, for the breaking of the law written by the Moses. For the law commanded that the Yahshua's supper be observed once a year at the beginning of the 15th day of the first month Abib, making it a night affair at the end of the 14th day, as shown in the Exodus 12:18, Leviticus 23:5-6, and Deuteronomy 16:5-6. In the contrast to the instruction of these scriptures, the SDA Church observes Yahshua's supper four times a year, in the morning instead of at night, and always on the Sabbath. Nearly their whole practice is in the violation of the law given for the governing of the ordinance of Yahshua's supper. For the Isaiah 20 points out that unto the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, because there is no light in them. SDA and DSDA. How long will you continue to follow false teachings and to break Yahweh's law? For the reason ancient Israel was delivered out of Egypt was because they kept the Passover before leaving Egypt, and because they had the blood of the Passover lamb on their doorpost, which covered their sins and protected them from the death angel. Still more reason for their delivery was the plan for the rebuilding of the sanctuary, for the Moses commanded Israel to borrow from the Egyptians jewels and gold, Exodus 11:2, that was to be used in the building of the sanctuary. The second year out of Egypt, at the Mount Sinai, Exodus 40:17, through that system, the people received remission and blotting out of the sin, as you well know. V.T. Hallett, as the antithetical Moses, did not restore the sanctuary system, the plan of salvation, according to the law of Moses, through the heavenly sanctuary, as the type called for. Wherefore, the remission and blotting out of the sins could be administered by our great high priest, Yahshua Messiah. For the modern Israel, SDA and DSDA, thus was the type violated. I believe that you will agree with me that when a movement is called on onto the scene at a time pointed out by a type, it becomes an antitype, and that is, it is obligated to follow that type in every aspect possible, with the Ishmael Isaac typology. When Abraham was 75 years old, living in the land of the Chaldees, Elohim called him to go to a land with his kinsmen, a land that Elohim would show him, with the promise that the Elohim would make of Abraham a great nation. This Abraham did, and wound up in the land of the Canaan, with the promise that I will give unto thee and unto thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their Elohim. Genesis 17:8. 10 years in Canaan passed, and still no wife. Sarah, Genesis 17:15, came up with a plan to help Elohim fulfill his promise unto Abraham. For the plan was for the Abraham to take Sarah's maid, Hagar, an Egyptian, which she did, and she bore him a son whom he called Ishmael. As you know, Ishmael was not the son of promise. Elohim forced his birth by the delaying of the birth of Isaac, the promised seed. 15 years later, Elohim blessed Sarah, and she bore Abraham a son, which he called Isaac, the son of promise. By these two births, Elohim was writing both history and prophecy by the life of Abraham's family, which means it would become type and antitype. Hence, these two sons from the same father had to be reckoned with for many years to come. At the age of 20, Ishmael and his mother Hagar persecuted Isaac, who was 5 years old. And Sarah said unto Abraham, send this woman and her son away, saying that Hagar's son would have no part of the Isaac's inheritance. For the Abraham, this did with Elohim's instruction. Okay, well, I'll do it again. For the Abraham, Abraham did this with Elohim's instructions. Neither was Ishmael to have any part of the land grant given unto Abraham and later unto Isaac. For that spirit of the persecution is seen yet today in the struggle in the Israel, as the Arabs and the world try to force Israel to give land for peace. These facts make us realize that there would be a second application or antitype. Yes, I am happy to say that just such an event did happen in 1955 A.D., following the death of the V.T. Hadar. A man by the name of Benjamin Roden came on the scene with a purported message, which he called the Branch, with the assumption that it was the next great movement coming after the Rod message. Not so, according unto the type and nature. For the rod of Moses, the type was allotted 40 years, whereas the branch that came in 1955 by Benjamin Roden showed that he was 15 years ahead of the appointed time for the branch to come. Thus, there was no prophetic interval for a prophetic movement to come in 1955. In Roden's drawing of his branch with the rod, he showed both growing out of the center of the stump of Jesse, which is contrary unto nature, showing that his branch is not in harmony with the nature, according to Isaiah 8:20. Anything that is not according to the law and the testimony is a false theory. By the making his branch message in a part of his occasional name, he showed that it was not the branch of Isaac 11:1, 10-12. That it could not be called or classed a prophetic movement or message of inspiration. You can not make the name of a message a part of the name of a movement, nor association. Impossible, for the Yahweh made plans for that event when he established the Ishmael-Isaac typology at the time of their birth to meet the fulfillment as the antitype right here. In our day, the only time in the history of this world that it could take place, what we are seeing here is that the Roden branch, according to the type, was a parallel or an antitype of the birth of Ishmael. Thus, it was called the Ishmael branch, with an allotted time of the 15 years as shown by the type. That is, the time between the birth of the Ishmael and the birth of Isaac, the son of promise, 1955-1970. Thus, 1970 marked the birth of Isaac, the son or branch of the promise, and the antitype. When Ishmael was 20 years old, he persecuted Isaac. He was 5 years old. Elohim told Abraham to send Hagar and Ishmael away, and that he, Yahweh, would establish his covenant with Isaac. This Abraham did. This was the type. Therefore, when the Roden Ishmael branch was 20 years old in 1975, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, write a tract entitled, Choose You This Day, and a tract entitled, That What Had to Be, and take them to the Ishmael branch headquarters on the New Mount Carmel Center, Waco, Texas. In the essence, the messages were the Ishmael branch was necessary to fulfill the type as pointed out in 1 TGR number 39, page 13. But that it's a lot of time. The 15 years ended in 1970, as proven also by its type. That is, it was then 1975, 20 years old, and that the Isaac branch was 5 years old, showing that it was then time to send antitypical Ishmael away. So the word of the Yahweh to me was to deliver these tracts unto the Eskimo branch headquarters at the new Mount Carmel Center, Waco, Texas, and to give the antitypical Eskimo a going away party for the fulfilling of the antitype. For the Abraham told all of his family when the Eskimo was born that he was the son that Elohim had promised, through which he would make of the Abraham a great nation. This held Abraham's family together until the birth of the Isaac. For the promised son, at which time Elohim told Abraham that Ishmael was not the promised son, but Isaac did not accept it and rebelled against the idea, for he had lived with the fact that he was the firstborn son and felt he was entitled to be unto the position as his father Abraham had taught. Therefore, the only way to settle the question was to send Ishmael away. Likewise, the only way to settle the argument with the Ben El Roden and his followers was to fulfill the antitype, that was to send antitypical Isaac Ben El Roden away in 1975 as a type, and the Yahweh demanded, which I did. Likewise, the Ishmael branch of 1975 was designed by the Elohim to hold the Davidians together until the birth of the Isaac branch message in 1970. For the purpose of the antitypical Ishmael was to fulfill the last 15 years of the 40 years allotted unto the Shepherd Rod movement, according unto the type. Where there is no type, there is no truth. The two Shepherd Rod of 255. Thus you can see that I have a type for everything that I teach. Everyone that accepted Ishmael was kept in position so they could accept Isaac as a promised son. For the only the one through which the Elohim would make a great nation, and those who would not believe nor follow Abraham missed the boat, as they did in the Noah's day. Thus will it be with the antitype. For the foregoing typical or antitypical events and their importance are spelled out in the plain language by the V.T. Hollis, that no Davidian with an open mind and the spirit of Elohim working within can miss the boat or be misled by the prejudice. For this light being transmitted by the marbles of the typical events is a clear manifestation that there is a type for every incident of the vital interest unto the Church of the Elohim, which are the only positive proof and clear explanation of the divine providences, as there is no type for that which is false. Teachers of theories without a typical representation for their claims of the so-called Bible truths, and those who believe in them are as the blind leading the blind, for these types are worked out to expose the error and reveal of the truth. For the honest ones will shun the devil by the embracing of the facts and by walking in the light. Two Shepherd Rod, page 255. A change of the leadership, old ones cut off. Now, do you understand why Brother Johnson was so alarmed when I told him that I voice spoke to me in 2002, right there in the, at Gilead Center in the temple, in our tabernacle, and said there's going to be a changing of the guard. There's going to be starting at the Passover 2002. Okay, this upset Brother Johnson to no end. Because he just wrote right here, a change of the leadership, old ones cut off. Well, let's see who he's talking about here. For the church has turned back from following Yahshua, her leader, and is steadily retreating toward Egypt. Yet few are alarmed or astonished at their want of the spiritual power. Doubt and even disbelief of the testimonies of the spirit of the Elohim is living in our churches everywhere. Satan would have it thus. Ministers who preach self instead of Yahshua would have it thus, for the testimonies are unread and unappreciated. For the Elohim has spoken unto you. Light has been shining from his word and from the testimony, and both have been slighted and disregarded. For the result is apparent in the lack of the purity and devotion and earnest faith among us. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 5, page 217. On the Day of the Atonement of September 1990, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, the Grizzled Horses, SDA, and DSDA leaders are cut off. Take the chariot with the bay horses and get you hence, and walk to and fro through the earth, reviewing hell of August the 1st, 1893. Show that the Seventh-day Adventist Church, modern Israel, will be brought down to hell, and Zechariah 6:6 shows that the Grizzled Horses, SDA, the DSDA leaders, are cut off, and that Zechariah 6:7 is a command to the bay horses to take the chariot, church, and to get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. According unto the type, the Jewish nation, ancient Israel, was restored in 70 A.D. because they rejected Yahshua and refused to become a part of the apostolic church. A sobering thought, to say the least, as we look at the antitype SDA and DSDA. Zechariah 4:7 shows that they become a plane, the antitype of 70 A.D. This is a prophecy that Rollis Johnson made against himself when he said that the Grizzled Horses, that lead team on that fourth chariot that was connected to those bay horses, when he said that they represented the Seventh-day Adventists and the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist leaders, they ought to be cut off. But Rollis Johnson was a Davidian Seventh-day Adventist leader. His message was the Isaac branch, but nevertheless, he was a Davidian, Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. So he made this prophecy against Gilead Center when he made this prophecy in 1998, that they would be cut off with the SDA and the DSDA leadership. He prophesied his own doom. Let's go on. For the name of Davidian Seventh-day Adventist makes the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist Association a part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So since Rollis Johnson had the acronym of Isaac Branch, Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, so he shows right here that he was a part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church that answered the ninth hour call, and he's part of that fourth group of laborers, and all they had was the three angels' messages for that whole fourth group to preach in those three feeding pastures. That's literally all that they had the power to display. This is proven by Job 14:7-9. For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. For the V.D. Hollis wrote in 2TG, page 25, April 17, 1948, that hence the logical name that would represent the work from this time down unto the time that the everlasting kingdom of the David is set up, I added that part, the everlasting kingdom of David, is to be the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. Well, actually, Rollis Johnson said it in two parts here. In the Passover of 1974, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, I appoint unto you a kingdom. I notice this indefinite article A. It didn't say the definite article V. Because if it had been a definite article V, he had said, I appoint unto you the everlasting kingdom of the David, which is the everlasting kingdom of heaven. No, he said, I appoint unto you a kingdom. He appointed unto Nebuchadnezzar a kingdom, and he said that he gave that kingdom to Nebuchadnezzar to rule over all the earth, and the name of that kingdom was Babylon. Well, what was the name of Rollis Johnson's kingdom? Mount Edom, which is the capital for the Seventh-day Adventist Church in another land. Mount Edom is not even in the land of Israel, actually, if I understand correctly. I stand to be corrected at all times now. Don't get me wrong, but I will acknowledge if I make a mistake. I will acknowledge it. appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me. Okay, so what was that kingdom that was appointed unto brothers? The antitypical kingdom of King Saul. A temporal kingdom in the 11th hour. The permanent kingdom was given to antitypical Elijah David in the 12th hour. The temporal kingdom is in the 11th hour, parabolic hour. And that's from 1970 to 2003. That's how long that temporal kingdom ruled. This, you see, is according to the type and the time element as shown in Luke 22, 29, and 30, which took place at the Passover of 31 A.D., and the Jewish nation was destroyed in 70 A.D., because they rejected Yahshua and the apostolic church. Okay. So about 40 years after they reject the truth in 31 A.D., about 40 years later, Jerusalem was destroyed. Because they rejected Yahshua and the apostolic congregation, likewise the DSDA church rejected Yahshua and the person of the branch. Okay. Beginning in 1970 of the 74, and were cut off in 1990 according to the type of 70 AD. Well, Rose was cut off in 2002, 2003, and what prophecy did he fulfill? Now keep in mind that Isaac Branch Messenger was born in 1970, and a person can't do anything until he becomes old enough, especially a male. He has to be 30 years old before he can be commissioned to preach or inherit his father's lineage. Here in Ezekiel 8, verse 17, then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing unto the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me unto anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Okay, so Brother Johnson is talking about the branch here, and he was talking about in the days in Passover 1974, where Yahweh came to me, saying, I appoint unto you a kingdom. Okay, and it says, as my Father hath appointed unto me, this you see is according to the type and time element as shown in Luke 22, 29, 30. Okay, so it says that, and the Jewish nation in 70 A.D. was destroyed because they rejected Yahshua and the apostolic church. Likewise, the Seventh-day Adventist and the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, and I will add this part, the Branch Davidian Seventh-day Adventist in Kermit, Texas, rejected Yahshua and the person of the branch. Now, this tender branch that grew up finally, the tender branch was born in 1970 at Gilead Center, but it was just a babe. It has to be 30 years old before it can become productive. So in 1999, at the Solemn Assembly, the branch became 30 years old. And this is the branch that Rhodes Johnson put to his nose. The very branch that he was commissioned with to grow up with from his birth. From 1970, he was commissioned to, that's the reason why Rhodes Johnson was given 33 years. That was his allotted time for growing up and for the maturing of this branch that sprouted in 1970. Okay. So now, whenever it got mature and the branch got intelligence to understand between good and evil, then that branch began to speak through who? Elijah David. Because he had the discernment now between good and evil at Gilead Center. He had the discernment that birthday celebrations was evil. I hadn't known this at the beginning of Gilead Center sojourn in 1970. But I learned it at the end of their sojourn. That celebrating one's birthdays, which I had a part in, they celebrated my birthday at Gilead Center for all the years that I was there. Okay, they celebrated everybody's birthday. I didn't know that it was an abomination. But when the branch materialized and was given unto antitypical Elijah, and he went and gave this message to Rhodes W. Johnson, the angel of the seventh candlestick, and This was the branch that was speaking. Yahshua says, I will slay thee and call my servants by a new name, and that new name is the Yahshua or righteousness, because the righteous branch had grown up under David. David had this here name, Yahshua or righteousness, and so this branch that grew up under David was given back to the 11th hour servant, Brother W. Johnson, and he rejected it, fulfilling this here in Ezekiel 8:17, that they fill the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they have put the branch, they put the branch to their house. Okay. So that makes fulfillment right there, determination. Now, we just have a minute or two left here. Our next subtitle is Isaac, the Era of the Great Nation. Here are some factors that we have to deal with. So that Abraham had two sons, and at his death, the priest of the family was to pass from the father unto the elder son. For the Ishmael was born of the bondwoman, Hagar, 15 years before the Isaac. For the Yahweh Elohim had told Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees and that he would make of him a great nation. So when Ishmael was born, Abraham took for granted that Ishmael was the heir of the promised great nation. Until one day, 14 years later, Elohim visited Abraham in his tent on the way to destroy Sodom and said unto him, Sarah thy wife shall have a son and shall and call his name Isaac. Abraham was shocked, seeing that Sarah had been barren all of her life, and Abraham said unto Yahweh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And Elohim said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son, and call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him. Genesis 17:19. And so he tells us in the last days he's going to make a new covenant and establish with us. Okay, what's that new covenant? With the antitypical Isaacites, the 144,000, and the house of David. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called, Genesis 21:12. Okay. So, this brings the close of our study this hour. We can contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on the audio archives. We're going to close now this service with a song. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. On the everlasting arm. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arm. I have blessed peace with my Yahshua. Leaning on the everlasting arm. And secure from all alarm.